Hello, this is the Voices of CRM podcast for June 28th. I'm Barney Beal, News Director with CertCRM.com. With Voices of CRM, we're bringing you monthly discussions with experts, analysts, and top executives in the field. Today, we're talking with Richard Feinberg, Director of the Center for Customer-Driven Quality at Purdue University. Richard is a PhD, a consumer psychologist, and also a professor in the Department of Consumer Sciences and Retailing at Purdue. All right, Richard, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Maybe you could start off talking a bit about what the center does and how you're involved in the world of CRM.
Okay, the Center for Customer-Driven Quality at Purdue University is dedicated to the proposition that the most important, or at least one of the most important assets that a business has, is customer satisfaction. Without a satisfied customer, you have nothing. You have no furniture, you have no vacations, you have no 401ks, you have no health insurance. That without a satisfied customer who's willing to purchase from you, you have nothing. So the center is dedicated to education, research, and training for students and for professionals on the strategic value of customer satisfaction. And we focus on customer access, call centers, web access, and things like that.
Okay, great. So we've been hearing a lot lately about the promise of speech technology, kind of as it relates to customer service. Can you do you share that optimism, or do you think businesses are ready to take advantage of it yet?
Well, I think we're right on the precipice of a tremendous, it's an evolution, but for some it's a revolution into speech technology. The fact of the matter is that companies believe that customer satisfaction is important. Most companies want to help customers, they just can't keep up with the demand. The demand for access is growing exponentially, and companies can't afford the human price of keeping up with that access. And so technology is there to help them, and one of the emerging technologies that is now cheap enough for even the most modest of companies is natural speech recognition. And the technology today is not only cost-effective, but it's phenomenal in terms of solving problems and interaction. And so we believe, our research shows clearly, that during the next generation of upgrades of customer contact centers, speech recognition is going to be adapted.
And so, but you haven't seen much in the way of successful deployment so far. I mean, are we still sort of in a hype stage?
Oh, no, no. There are tremendous successful deployments of speech recognition technology. It started in the financial services industry, for example, and now you have airlines and pharmaceuticals and hospitals and retailers. Let's just take Sears, for example. Whatever you think of Sears, it used to be when you called Sears, you had to press 1 for refrigerators, 2 for stoves, 3 for furniture. Their IVR had like 36 different choices,
right. Yeah.
And nobody hung on for all of them. They opted out. Now you call up Sears and you tell them what you're interested in, and the system directs you exactly to where you want. So there are simple. We believe, our research shows, that about 70% of all contacts can be handled with natural speech recognition. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to deploy your human resources for more difficult problems. And difficult problems are, maybe we can't yet handle them automatically, but you can now deploy more resources to those difficult problems, while the change of address and simple location kinds of issues, which the simple ones, which we think are 70-75% of all contacts, can be done easily. And and what's really important to me is that I would never sacrifice a dollar of cost for customer satisfaction. Our research and research of others shows that you don't have to sacrifice customer satisfaction using natural speech recognition. As a matter of fact, we show that under most situations, customers are actually more satisfied.
And is that message is getting through to sort of the executive level in businesses?
Just starting.
Yeah.
Just starting. You know, the single biggest barrier to this whole thing is that executives don't call their 800 number. Well, all they have to do is call their 800 number once and wait for 20 minutes and not get their problem solved before they begin to understand the importance of these systems. So that's the first step for people who are interested in getting the C-level executives to adopt these systems. Have them call your 800 number and hold on for 20 minutes.
Sure, sure. Well, what's your research telling you in terms of a voice over IP? I mean, we can sort of see the advantages of the technology, particularly for contact centers that are just getting started. But maybe you can talk a little bit, how do you determine when it's right to make the transition to voice over IP from a traditional contact center operation?
Well, we have not done a lot of research on this yet because there's not a big adoption. But the one research study that we did showed that consumers didn't know it was voice over IP from the business end. Will consumers adopt it at their end? The answer is obviously yes, with Vonage and all the other purveyors. But from the corporate end, customers don't know the difference. So if a business can save money and deploy it elsewhere to the betterment of customer satisfaction, customers don't care. We have done done a lot of research which has highlighted the determinants of resolution. Customers don't care if it's voice over IP. Customers don't care if it's a natural speech recognition system. People don't care if they're speaking to the most highly hard to understand person in India, as long as they get a solution to their problem. It is unbelievable. Study after study after study, if you cross every variable with resolution, resolution wins, and it determines customer satisfaction. And yet we have all these contact centers spending money on all these things that have very little to do with increasing the probability that consumers are going to get an answer quickly, when that is the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of somebody in India, I mean, what are you seeing in terms of sort of the offshore outsourcing raids that went on for a while? I mean, are companies starting to bring those operations back here, or are they getting better at what they send offshore?
Well, I think that there are some companies that we have seen bring in operations back onshore. There are some companies that are expanding their offshore operations. And again, from the consumer issue, from the customer satisfaction issue, the issue is resolution, first call resolution. They don't care where it goes. Now, the ability to get somebody who doesn't understand our culture, who doesn't speak a language as well, to solve the problem is hard, and it's a management issue. But once you solve the management issue, there is no reason why calls can't go offshore. And we have seen a lot of successful offshore deployments. I have witnessed, as I was in India, I have witnessed pretty poor deployments, ones that I would be very embarrassed about. But it's a management issue. It's not a technology issue. It's a management issue. It's a strategic management issue.
And customers are, from your sense, are fairly comfortable with offshore agents at this point, or come to expect it?
No. I think the industry has done themselves tremendous disservice by creating offshore deployments that have just pissed customers off.
Uh-huh.
And so the next time they hear the slightest bit of an accent, they sort of, their mindset is, this is going to be a terrible experience. I'm never going to get a solution. I'm just going to hang up now. We have done surveys, national surveys, that have asked customers, what do you expect if you hear an Indian accent or an Irish accent or some offshore accent? Independent of any other information, their answer is, 80% of them say, we're not going to get a solution. We're going to be very dissatisfied without anything happening. And that's because their experience is it's been a terrible thing.
Yeah.
If from the very beginning companies were very careful to only offshore those kinds of issues that could get a fast resolution, then the expectation that consumers would have would be, we're going to get a solution to a problem. So the industry has dug themselves into a hole that is going to be difficult for them to get out of. So we've experimented with introductions to a call where the call said, your call is going to be answered by somebody in India. But you're going to get a resolution to your problem. We guarantee it, and we'll give you $5 if it doesn't happen. People are very happy with that, and they'll try it.
Well, and one of the alternatives to offshoring is sort of having agents that work remotely, working from home. Can you talk a little bit about what sort of research you've done in that area? And
Sure. The solution right now is a busy signal, or your call is very important to us. Why don't you hang on for 20 minutes? That's the solution right now. That's what you're getting. Right now, home agents, although having a home agent is a little is less costly than having a CSR in a call center. It's still a very expensive proposition, and it is not going to be able. There is just no way that current business can keep up with the increased demand. It just can't happen. They don't have that much money. So the solutions that depend on high-cost contact and anything with a live agent is a high-cost contact, other than the offshore, it's just not going to keep up. But they are solutions to other kinds of problems that businesses have, for example, spikes in volume if there are certain weeks or if certain problems emerge and you need to increase demand capacity, then home agents or other kinds of insourcing where you insource to other call centers in the United States are solutions that help.
Well, and then so I guess the other option when you're not talking about a live agent, you're talking in a lot of ways self-service. Are companies kind of doing that correctly? Can you share maybe some of the things that you've seen companies do right when it comes to self-service?
You mean specific? Can I give
like
you
like online self-service? Or what are you seeing out there that's been done right?
I mean, the airlines and banks are doing a great job of self-service. Airlines, banks, and financial institutions. I mean, you know, you can now print your boarding pass and check in on most airlines. I mean, that's probably saved millions of dollars. I mean, the airlines have other problems, of course. But in terms of trying to do things that will increase the probability of survival, airlines and banks and financial services have been very strong on creating opportunities for people to self-serve. And, you know, self-service is something that people understand. Self-service is something that people do every day. When businesses create simple to use, easy to understand self-service opportunities, people will do them. You know, I don't need more friends. You know, I'm not calling an 800 number to get a new friend. I'm not lonely. I just want to get something done, whatever that is.
Uh-huh.
And if you give me a self-service option that gets it done, I'm going to use it. And we're finding that people will use it. You know, when we've spent a lot of time looking at how these questions are asked. When you ask the question, you know, are you happy with self-service opportunities, with no other information, people will say, no, I'm not very happy. Are you happy with offshoring? No, I'm not happy. Are you happy with speech recognition? No, I'm not happy. But when you present it in the context of reality, you know, would you rather speak to a computer and have a 50% chance of resolving your problem, or hang on for 30 minutes and not knowing if somebody's going to answer your call? People will choose the other option all the time.
Sure.
And so you have to think about these things. You know, we call it a control group. What's your control group here? And what we find is that if everything is tied to resolution, if you tell people that, you know, go to the computer, go to our chat, go to our self-service, and you have an 80% chance of getting things solved, or call our 800 number, and we don't know what's going to happen to you, but it's probably not going to be pleasant, people will choose the option that gets closer to resolution.
Sure. Well, and sort of along those same lines, is it your sense that, tell me a little bit about how you've seen companies change the way that they measure the customer service experience? Companies now starting actually to measure first call resolution, those sorts of metrics, or are people still hung up on efficiencies?
Well, most companies are not measuring first call resolution because it's more difficult to measure. They are beginning to, most companies now do some sort of customer satisfaction measurement. But again, most of them are making the mistake of measuring customer satisfaction at intervals way after the experience itself. If you don't capture that information in the channel that people contacted you and within 24 hours of that contact, the data is not very accurate. So we're finding that the best systems are those kinds of systems that ask the customer right after they've contacted, both in terms of resolution and in terms of satisfaction.
Well, are there new technologies that you see having an impact in customer service in the next couple of years?
Well, you hit on most of the on most of them. The technologies already exist. The two issues that we see getting better, the three issues that we see happening, are these technologies are getting better at doing what they're doing. You know, the natural speech recognition systems. I saw one a couple of weeks ago that was able to identify the emotional component of a contact. And I heard an actual example of a woman who was really angry and had reason to be angry, talked down by a computer system.
Really?
And at the end, she actually said, "Am I talking to a person or a computer?" And the computer answered, "You're talking to a computer system." But she was very happy with what happened. So, I mean, those systems are, these things are getting so much better. And as they get better and as they get cheaper and as companies go into the next cycle of replacement, there'll be reason for them to purchase these systems. And so now natural speech recognition is actually quite economical for, you know, a 20 to 25-seat call center, where 2 years ago, if you didn't have a 200-seat call center, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, so do you expect to see a kind of a wave of adoption of speech technology?
You know, what's the time frame? I've been saying this for 5 years, and it hasn't really happened yet. It's going to happen within the next 10 years. Whatever that means.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, thanks very much. This has been helpful.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Well, that concludes our conversation with Richard Feinberg. Be sure to tune in next month for the next installment of our Voices of CRM series. And continue to look to searchcrm.com for all your online CRM resources. Point.